The assigned lectionary gospel passage for this first Sunday in Advent comes from the 13th chapter in Mark, often known as the Little Apocalypse. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things take place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only God. Beware, keep alert. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. As you know, we have just entered the liturgical season of Advent, a word that literally means coming or arriving. Therefore, Advent, as you've heard, is a time of anticipation and active preparation, a time in between the now and not quite yet. So what's coming ahead? Well, for one, Christmas is coming. So perhaps one of the most important questions we can ask ourselves, especially at this time of the year, is what would our world be like? What would our lives be like if Jesus had not been born? Keep that question on your heart and mind between now and Christmas, and ponder and reflect upon the implications on the way of life without the teachings and the ministry of the Jewish peasant, itinerant preacher and prophet named Jesus of Nazareth. Now, contrary to the manner in which a whole lot of churches will be joyously celebrating these Sundays in December and in Advent, note that Advent does not begin with a note of joy, but rather one of despair and warning. Today's Old Testament passage from Isaiah 64 describes humankind as reaching the end of its rope. Having become aware of their sinfulness and waywardness, they plead to God for mercy. Isn't that always the first step? Realizing we have strayed too far off the path to which we believe God has called us to follow. Therefore, so much like the season of Lent that precedes Easter, the season of Advent is an opportune time to take stock of your life. Are there any course corrections that you feel may be necessary to help you get back on the right track? Recognition and acknowledgement of what's really going on in our lives is an extremely important step in the process of healing and wholeness and certainly of spiritual growth. But in and of itself, that step doesn't accomplish much good if it isn't followed by a response of some kind. So perhaps God is calling us, calling you, calling me to a change of direction in our thinking or behavior. And the theological term for that is repentance. And perhaps we, like the ancient Hebrews, need to explore those areas in our lives that are causing us despair. For the path to hope often begins with an honest recognition of the despair that we harbor and that we experience. Now, the gospel reading from Matthew 13 is also an interesting choice for this first Sunday of Advent. The passage is from an apocalyptic discourse about the end of time, the end of the world as we know it, and human history. Why, you may be wondering, would the assigned lectionary pick these particular scripture passages to begin Advent? Well, the appropriateness, while not immediately apparent, does become a bit clearer upon reflection. Advent, after all, deals with the coming of the Messiah. And according to traditional Christian understanding, there are two comings, two Advents. The first, of course, is the birth of Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago. And the second coming, appropriately referred to as the second coming, is something that we rarely talk about. Many Christians simply do not believe that it will happen literally as it is described in the scriptures. And I am one of those people. And a majority of mainline biblical scholars today now approach apocalyptic literature in the scriptures as metaphorical and symbolic language, not literal history that will unfold. And the other way, I guess, to interpret all that apocalyptic teaching in the Bible is that those who believe and preach that all this would happen within their lifetime were simply wrong. That's a scandal. Yet the traditional message of the season of Advent is a reminder that we are living in between those times. That is, between the Christ has come and Christ will come again. Or as I referred to earlier, between the now and the not yet. And in my opinion, far too many people in this country, usually those outside of mainline denominations, obsess over the second coming and the end of the world as we know it. They tend to look at any disaster or tragedy as a possible sign of the end times. And yet, as declared right here in Mark 13:32, but about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only God. So instead, I think the primary lesson for us today, and a major theme throughout the season of Advent, comes in the very next verse. Be on guard, be alert. And the passage ends with Jesus' words, "What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep awake." So the question that we are faced with on this first Sunday of Advent is this: are we awake, watchful, and on guard for the many ways in which God is adventing, coming into your life and mine, supporting us and challenging us to bring the light of God's truth and love into this world's darkness? An appropriate Christian way of life, then, is marked by watchfulness with an eye toward the future. It's also marked with a need for endurance and perseverance. And to keep awake is to be faithful and diligent in our work as individuals and as a congregation. And perhaps one of the best ways we can do that, to do our work, is to live into hope. As Christians, we are called to give witness to how we live hopeful lives, even when our circumstances in life seem to call for despair. For hope is the antidote to despair. And the primary source of our hope is revealed in the event of Christmas itself, called Emmanuel, God with us. For we have never been, nor ever will we be, entirely, thoroughly on our own. And saying that, hope can be a hard commodity to come by for many during this season. Abundant tree lights and glittering ornaments do little to relieve the despair that some people feel at this time of year, every year, or for some in this particular year. We're reminded of the despair and the frustration felt by so many in the aftermath of the events of Ferguson, Missouri. Yet, there is hope. We're reminded of the despair of those incarcerated in jails and prisons, or those who are homeless. Yet, there is hope. We're reminded of the despair of those, and perhaps yourself, whose circumstances in life are indeed painful and difficult for whatever reason. Yet, there is hope. The pastor of a Disciples of Christ church in Seattle, Reverend Joan Delaplaine, writes, "It is such experiences of despair, however, that can move us to recognize the need for God. The sense of darkness and despair most often leads to inaction, to paralysis. The reality of Advent, however, is the admonition to be on guard, to be awake, to be alert. God has chosen to need us to make God's love, God's presence, compassion, and power tangible. We cannot afford to be sleepwalkers. Time is too precious. God's people are too precious. Our lives are meant to make a difference in God's world, no matter how small that difference may seem to each of us." My hope on this Advent season this year is that all of us keep awake and alert and continue to be a beacon of light and hope to those whose lives are filled with despair. And as importantly, allow others to be a beacon of light and hope to you. And in this, I hope to practice what I preach. Amen.